Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Praise God. Well, I'm so thankful that the pastor, Gary, so honored me and given me the ability to minister to you truth. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just wonderful. You know, it's positively amazing that the pieces of truth that I'm going to be sharing with you is brand new to me. I only learned these pieces of truth about a month ago. And I've been giving myself to meditation, and I have about 100 pages of notes on what I'm going to be sharing with you. It's tremendous. And so it's a very, very so wonderful. Now, I mentioned to you before when we ministered that it tells us in the book, in the Old Testament, that God is love. You know, I'm a jealous God. When God said, I'm a jealous God, I'm a jealous. And then also in the New Testament, it says, God is love. You put them together, you get jealous love. And I mentioned this to you the last time I ministered here to you. What is jealous love? Jealous love is that you are more important to me than I am to myself. And that's so true of me. You people are more important to me than I am to myself. That's number one. Number two, when you have a need, I'm going to, no matter what it costs me, I'm going to meet your need. For example, I'm quite sure that you don't have knowledge of what I'm going to be teaching you tonight. So I'm going to take your lack of knowledge, and I'm going to give you truth that will fulfill, and you'll have knowledge that you did not have when you first came in. And then thirdly, is this: I'll take, as I said, I'll take your ignorance, and I'll give you my knowledge. And then there is a fourth aspect to jealous love, and it's between our relationship with God, and also husbands and wives, and the jealous love with God is God says, I want all of you, and then God says, I want you to want all of me. And can you imagine what kind of a marriage that would be when the husband says to his wife, honey, I want all of you. And then she in turn turns around and says, honey, I want all of you. What a marriage. Wow. And that's jealous love. Praise God. Praise God. What I want to teach you tonight is this: having knowledge of the vast difference between pride and humility is an absolute must if a person desires to live a spiritual life. And that word spiritual means 100% out of God. That word spiritual is used 26 times in the New Testament. And every time it means 100% out of God. Not 99 and 9 tenths, but 100% out of God. And we need to have knowledge of what is pride. What is pride? And what is humility? And in order for us to conquer pride, we have to know how to deal with it. And if a person does not know what pride is and how it manifests itself, how can you deal with it? You know, and it's the pride of sin. And the point is, if you go and steal something, you can see the object that you stole. You can see it. But pride is something you can't see. It's very treacherous. In fact, the lack of knowledge of what pride is and how it manifests itself, it's impossible to deal with it. And that's what's wrong with America today. It's run by pride. Pride, pride. And when pride is recognized, then you can deal with it. But if you don't recognize what it is, just like it's like a thief in the house, if you don't know the thief is there, you can't do anything about it. But if you know he's there, then you can do something about it. That's the same way with pride. And so it's very, very important. And there are multitudes of people in the world and even in local church bodies that have no idea that pride is running their lives. They have no idea whatsoever. And as a result of it, to control it and to get a hold of it and bring it under control is impossible because they don't know. You cannot deal with something you know nothing about. And so it's so sad that many pieces of truth about pride and humility, they're seldom taught. They're worlds apart. Pride and humility, they're worlds apart. And when it comes to pride and humility, all we need to know is what it is to avoid, and we need to know what to avoid and also what to embrace. We need to avoid pride and embrace humility. And so it's so very important. And I'll be getting deeper into this. And here are some of the examples where the lack of knowledge that pride at work in a person's life in destroying. And one thing about pride will destroy you. You can't get away from it. You're locked in. If you allow pride to make your choices for you, and what you're going to do, you will be destroyed. I think of, you know, and how many times in homes that happiness is destroyed. Not only happiness, but the peace and joy and relationships and unity and harmony is gone because of pride. What I want. That's what the wife says, and the husband says, this is what I want. And they're like this, pride. And they're totally unaware. Sometimes what people think is that pride is just me. That's just what I am, you know. It's not like stealing a car. You know, pride, that's just me. But, you know, some pride is a sin. I think of when a person lacks knowledge about the various aspects of pride, it will, in this secretive way, sit on your throne of your life as ruler. And this is what's wrong with our world today. Pride is in control. It tells us in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed and are dying for lack of knowledge. You know, when you lack knowledge of truth, you know what the devil does? He sits down, folds his arms, and watches you destroy yourself. He didn't have to tempt you. You destroy yourself when you lack knowledge. So what I'm saying here, in all you're getting, get knowledge of truth. Get knowledge of truth. It also tells us in Isaiah, it says this, in Isaiah 5:13-14, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. The lack of knowledge will destroy you. How many people lack knowledge? And you know what the devil does? Boy, he's come up with some good ideas, and people are all busy. Oh, yeah, they're playing golf, and they're going to Disney World and doing this and doing that. No time for the word. No time to search for truth. Truth that will last forever. What good will it be when you get to heaven and you make a hole in one in your golf game? So what? You know, I had a sister that was a millionaire. And you know something? When she passed on, she didn't even take one penny. Amen. Not even one penny. Mm-hmm. There's just one way pride is so exceedingly treacherous, and it will, in utmost secrecy, destroy a person. It will destroy. And we have example after example in the Word and in our world today of people being destroyed. And then they are awakened. My marriage, we're heading for a divorce, and this problem, that problem, my children, oh, all because of pride. And they know that their lives have been destroyed, but it's too late. You've got to deal with it before, not after. And most people today are unaware that their hearts have been deceptively infiltrated by pride. They have the opinion that their choices, that's just me. Yes, but where does it come from? What's motivating you? Pride. They do not have the slightest clue that pride is in their heart, and what's in their heart, that's where the choices are made. And so it's so very important that pride takes over our abilities to in making choices. And Proverbs 23:7 says these words: "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So whatever you think, you know, I'm number one. I'm important. I really am an important person. And you know what that goes? That goes into your heart. And out of your heart, you make choices. And so the only way, as I mentioned last time, how to purify your heart, the only way you can purify your heart is watch the thought processes. Because whatever thoughts you have will filter into your heart. And if you've got corrupt thoughts up here, then those corrupt thoughts will go into your heart, and you'll have a corrupt heart. And from a corrupt heart, you get corrupt choices. But on the other hand, if you have pure thoughts, then those pure thoughts go into your heart, and you have a pure heart, and from your pure heart, you make pure choices. Very, very simple. And the only way you can purify your heart is watch your thought processes. You've got to watch your thought processes. Now, here's a piece of truth which you must never, never, never forget. Pride is the womb where all sin is conceived. All sin is conceived in pride. For example, if I steal your car, why do I steal your car? Because I'm important. I want that car. I don't care about you. I want it. And so the sin of stealing comes from what? From pride. When a man rapes a woman, I want to be sexually satisfied. I don't care about you. I don't care if I've conceived a child. I don't care. I want to have this displeasure. That's pride. All sin. Lying. When a person lies, for example, if a person steals something and then he gets caught, and then they say, "Did you steal that?" And what does he do? "I got to protect myself. I'm important." "No, I didn't steal that." You liar. But where did it come from? Where was that lie conceived? In pride. All sin comes out of pride. Whew. That's awesome. Wow. Murder. Why do people kill one another? Because of pride. "I want you out of my life." And how many times women, wives, and husbands kill each other? Why? "Because I don't want you anymore." Why? "Because I'm not happy with you." And so all sin, pride is the mother of all other sins. And that's why America is so filled with pride. Yes, I'm a movie star, and I'm so popular. Oh my. Look at me. I make millions. Oh my. Look at me. I'm number one. Pride. It's something. Even drunkenness comes out of getting drunk. "What I want to forget my troubles. I." Here we go again. You can't get away from it. It collages. And then another thing. Are you aware about covet in Colossians 3:5? You know what it says? It says, so once for all, put to death your earthly inclinations, covetousness, which is idolatry. Where does covetousness come from? Pride. I want your car, or I want, you know, I want your wife, or I want this, or I want that. I want it. I don't care about you. I don't care how much you have to suffer. I don't care to sin. Pride doesn't care about other people. It's just me. I'm number one. And you realize that all gambling is the outcome of the sin of covetousness? Yes, you got $1,000 and I got $1,000. And I want your $1,000. And then you say to me, I want your $1,000. And then when you take my $1,000, that which was to pay the rent, I'm kicked out of my house because I don't have no money to pay the rent. You don't care. You got my $1,000. And you know what Colossians says? 3:5 again. So once for all, put to death your earthly inclination, covetousness, which is idolatry. You make yourself God. I'm number one. This happened in Eustis about 20 years ago. There was a young man about 25 years of age, and he had a pickup truck that he fixed up, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I remember seeing it on television. And somebody wanted that truck. Covetousness. What do? They killed that young man, about 25 years old, and took his truck. Where did that sin come from? Pride. I think of, take a close look of how pride entered the absolute perfect and even flawless domain of the Garden of Eden. Here's a perfect garden, a perfect, flawless, no weeds or thorns or thistles. No wild animals to kill people. Everything was perfect. And what came on the scene? Pride. And Eve wanted to be like Jesus. I want to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. I want to be like God. So she took it. And what? Why? Pride. It's amazing. And I think of the dictators, how they live today with pride. Even there in Syria, thousands upon thousands of people have been killed because somebody wants to stay in power instead of bowing out and bringing peace. No, I want to stay in power. Why? Pride. You realize that Hitler, it's hard to believe, Hitler killed 1,500,000 children of the 6 million that he killed. 1,500,000. Can you imagine that? What did they do to deserve that? Born a Jew. Pride. Pride. And this happens even today with the Muslims. They want to kill, 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 kill. If you're not like me, if you don't embrace my religion, then we'll cut your head off. And hundreds and hundreds are being assassinated. And here's not only was in the Garden of Eden, here's heaven. Now we're not told where Lucifer rebelled against God. We're not told at all. So I just assume it was in heaven. If it was there, but anyhow, wherever it was, what caused this beautiful angel, the archangel Lucifer, to rise up against God in rebellion? Pride. Let me read to you Isaiah, these verses. There are four scriptures. This is Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, bright morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth. You who weaken and enslave the nations. Once you thought in your mind and with determination said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and rule the angels. I will take the highest throne in the far north. I will make myself like the Most High and will take over as king. Verse 14 says, Isaiah, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High and will take over the king as king of the universe. Then in verse 15, and as I tell you before, pride will destroy you. It's not also like murder immediate, but in time it will destroy the person who allows pride in their lives. And this is what could happen to Lucifer. But you didn't make it, did you? Instead of climbing up, you have been brought down to the lowest depths of hell and the world of the dead. To Lucifer. Here's a perfect, heaven. And if that was where what happened, sin came into heaven. And rebellion rose up because of what? Pride. Pride is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. It's perpetually negative. There's nothing, I cannot give you one thing, not even the smidgen of a thought of pride being good or positive. It's not. It's 100% evil. And it destroys the person who allows it to reign their life. And I beg you in the name of Jesus, I beg you, get away, get pride out of your life if it's there. Amen. From now on, it's no more. I, no more. No more. Pride in heaven. Now, the point is, if pride caused like a war in heaven where a third of the angels went with Lucifer, what do you think it's doing on earth today? And that's why it tells us in the Word of God, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because pride. And you know something? So Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. And you know what? If you insist to live, I'm going to live by pride because I'm so important for myself. I'm so important. You know, just like with Lucifer, the blessings of God will be taken from you. Just like he did to Lucifer. And Lucifer, I understand, was a beautiful angel. You got to keep in mind, it was not sexual lust that caused Lucifer to fall, or alcohol, or drugs, or stealing, only pride. That's all that caused it. And all the sin in our world since the Garden of Eden and Eve, all because of pride. Not because of lying or stealing. No, pride. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God makes this very, very real to you. And pride has an exceedingly strong and negative ability of destroying peace and harmony. And just like it did in heaven. I can imagine there must have been, I don't know how long it took, we're not told, but there must have been some kind of a war in heaven or wherever it was. But it was the separation. And the thing that got the devil down is getting so many people down. Think of all these people that have been cursed because of pride. Pride always makes a loser out of a person. If you allow pride in your life, if you allow it to make choices, your choices, you're going to be a loser. I think of King Saul, just an example. He didn't want David. No, I'm the king. I'm the king. And how many times did he try to kill David? Why? Because of pride. I want to remain king. And finally, what happened? God's blessing was taken from Saul, and he no longer was king. And then he died the death. And I think of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. They sold some property, and let's say they I don't know what the amount was, but let's say they sold it for $10,000. But let's say it's $5,000. We can keep the other $5,000 for ourselves. And God was so displeased with that sin of pride, both of them were killed instantly. That gives you an idea what God it tells us in the Word that God hates pride. God hates it. I think of Judas. Sometimes as I meditate on Judas, I feel so sorry for him. He has 30 pieces of silver. Oh, I got 30 pieces of silver, you see? Ooh! Pride. And he may have had in his head, there were times when other people wanted to take Jesus and kill him, but he slipped away. You know, he just got away. Maybe they'll happen this time when I betray him and everything. It didn't work. Pride. It's amazing. I think of Esau, another one. Oh, the Bible's filled with them. I'm so hungry, Esau. I'll tell you what, I'll give you my spiritual blessing if you give me a bowl of soup. I am so hungry. Pride again. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Are you beginning to understand? You know, Eve, before she sinned, lived in flawless innocence. She was like Jesus says this, suffer little children to come unto me, for if such is the kingdom of God. And so when you have a little child, the little child goes to mom, say, Mommy and Daddy, is this okay if I do this? And so Eve, before she sinned, she had to go to God. God, is this good or evil? And then every time, God, is this good or evil? God, is this good or evil? She continually had to go to God to find out if something was good or evil because she didn't know. She was like a child, innocent. And you know something? If you live a spirit-led life today, you're dependent on God just like Eve. You're living in the Garden of Eden, your own Garden of Eden. It's amazing. You know, I was eating a meal at Denny's with Ed Adams and right across the street from Walmart, and I thought, well, after I finish eating with my brother, I'll go to Walmart and do some shopping. And as I got in the car, the Spirit spoke to me, go home. So what did I do? I went home. I don't know why, and I don't care. You just obey. And you realize that when you obey the Spirit, when the Spirit speaks to you and you obey, you will be living in humility. Not pride, but you've got to be spirit-led. Wow. And you've got to realize that in the Garden of Eden, before sin came, they lived a perfect, flawless life. I mean absolute perfection. But you know something? You can live that way today, too, by being spirit-led. I can't remember the last time I made a mistake. Now, I'm not talking about spilling a cup of coffee or something like that. No, but I can't remember. Why? Because when a person is spirit-led, you will not make mistakes. You'll live a perfect life. There's no regrets. No regrets whatsoever. Everything on this planet is by pride. You realize every commercial, they appeal to your pride. Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this. Oh, this is to make your work easier. You can clean your floors faster. Oh, boy. Just call right now. Appealing to your pride. Did you ever think of that? Amazing. Pride deceives people, and they are totally unaware that it's pride that's motivating them. They think, that's just me. That's just who I am. Yes, but what's really behind what you are? Is it pride? It tells us in this, there are ways that seem so right to a man, but in the end, they lead to death. There are so many things that seem so right, but they turn out to be so wrong. You realize that almost every divorce is because of pride. Yes, I want to have relationship with another woman or whatever. And this contention, it tells only, the Bible says in Proverbs, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention, arguments, debating, fighting, pride. This is the word of God. Only by pride comes contention. But with spiritual counsel, so with counsel that's 100% out of God, is wisdom. And what's wisdom? Is spirit-led living. Because the Spirit of God will never lead you to make a fool out of yourself. Never. Never. But you've got to be spirit-led. And people who live by pride have no desire for truth. No desire whatsoever. And pride is much like being deceived. You don't know you have it when you have it. The outcome of pride is always, I am number one. I am the most important. That's pride. And it was with us clear back before the creation. And every failure is because of pride. Nothing good or positive comes out of pride. You know something about pride is that you realize that success is more dangerous than failure. How many people are very successful? I know of it. There was a shepherd, a pastor up in, I think it was in Georgia. He had a congregation of, I think, 25,000 people. And they found out he was a homosexual. Well, he's gone now. But the point is this, what caused it? He wanted something to satisfy himself. Are you understanding? Pride. And completely destroyed him. He's not on television anymore. But on the other hand, when people are failed, when they run to God, oh, God, I fail, help me, forgive me, Lord, amen. But success is more dangerous than failure. Now, let's take a look of some of the, let me see here. You see, one thing about pride, when you allow pride to govern you, it will rearrange your priorities. Yes. In other words, going to Disney World is more important than studying the Word of God. Are you understanding? And so when pride is in control, your priorities are all mixed up. They're not the way they should be. And it's because what? Because of pride. Well, I can't tithe. I need 100% of what I make. Pride. I want to go into humility this morning, this evening, so I'm going to skip a lot of this. Now, what on the other hand, before we leave pride, if you have a pen and pencil, I want you, we're going to spell pride. Make, on the bottom of your paper, make a small p, a half inch high. A small p, half inch high, P, and then R, so half inch high. And then when you get the I, make go clear to the top of the page, I. And then go back to D, half inch, and E, half inch. That's pride. Pride, in the way you spell it, defines what it is. It's I. Stop it. May I say this again? Pride is 100% destructive. Now, what is the opposite of pride? It's humility. And Jesus is the perfect example of humility. And humility is whatever it costs to advance the kingdom of God, I will pay it. Again, I repeat, this is humility. Whatever it costs me, whatever it costs me, I want to advance the kingdom of God, I'll pay it. And I think of Jesus, who is the perfect example of humility. He's the perfect, flawless example. Just think of what he went through to advance the kingdom of God, to enlarge the kingdom of God. The very fact that by the grace of God, we're in the kingdom of God. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Because of his humility. And humility is putting the kingdom of God number one. Always number one. And anything that takes the place of the kingdom of God and puts the kingdom of God in second place, whatever you put above the kingdom of God, that's pride. I didn't know this. I did not know this. As I said, I only learned these pieces of truth about a month ago. About 40, 50 years ago, when I was a high school guidance counselor. Making fabulous money. Boy, I really had it made. And then the Spirit spoke to me, go out and prepare my church for my coming. I tell you, I wasn't flipping hamburgers. I had a tremendous job. And I didn't know it. But we asked God, we said, Lord, if this is you, quitting this job is really big. It's life-changing. So we ask you, give us a supernatural confirmation that this is what you want me to do. And God didn't give us one supernatural confirmation. He gave us two. So I quit. And I didn't realize, this has happened about 50 years ago, and I didn't realize it, that I was walking in humility. The kingdom of God was more important than my job. Whenever you put anything above the kingdom of God, that's pride. The king, you realize Grace Tabernacle is part of the kingdom of God, and this church body should be number one. And you should do everything you can to promote the body, the kingdom of God in this place. Are you following me? Yep. And anything that takes the place of the kingdom of God, and you move the kingdom of God into second or third or fourth position, pride. Pride. If there happens to be a class on deeper life and the neighbor invites you out to go and eat and so on, you say, well, instead of going to the deeper life class, I'm going to go out and eat. Pride. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is number one. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first. Seek first. And then one translation says, seek first and continually seek. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of number one. And you got to remember the kingdom of God, well, there's no end to the kingdom of God. It will last forever and ever and ever and ever. And it should be number one, always, always, number one. And anything, again, I repeat myself, it's so important, anything that takes precedence over the kingdom of God is because of pride. Notice the price that Jesus paid. And this is Isaiah 52:14. And this is from different translations. This is what Jesus suffered. The crowds were appalled on seeing him. So marred and disfigured beyond that of any man. He seemed no longer human. A ruined face past recognition. So disfigured one would scarcely know he was a person. He became one object of horror. That's the price Jesus paid to advance the kingdom of God, to establish the kingdom of God. Are you understanding? Jesus paid the ultimate, in order to advance the kingdom. And that's exactly what you and I should do. Jesus said, follow me. And whatever it costs you or me to advance the kingdom, pay it. By the grace of God, I will pay it. And you know something? Hundreds and hundreds of people are losing their lives in the Far East today because they will not give up and by denying Christ, they will not do it. So they cut off their heads, hundreds of people. And what, see, it's so important. Jesus, he laid down some rigid, unalterable requirements. Jesus said, I'm just going to say this from memory. Jesus says, unless you hate your father and hate your mother and hate your children, you cannot be my disciple. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want disciples, but he didn't want disciples that were motivated by pride. Because if you're not motivated by humility, you're motivated by pride. And Jesus did not want disciples that were motivated by pride. He wanted disciples that were motivated by humility. And Peter said this to Jesus. He said, Jesus, we have left all. Remember that? We have left all to follow you. And you know something? Living a life of humility is a choice. That's why God says, humble yourselves. Humble. In fact, two times in the New Testament, it says, humble yourselves. It doesn't say, come to God, come to the altar. Oh, God, make me humble. No, you do it. Humble yourself in the sight of God and what? And he will exalt you. Look what happened to Jesus, how he humbled himself in order to allow the kingdom of God to expand to the degree that it is today. And what has God the Father done? He has exalted him above all else and has given him a name above all names. Because why? Whenever you humble yourself, God will exalt you in his time. He will. Woo. Are you following me? God will exalt you. It may for the moment, just like in Jesus' case, for the moment you may suffer. Surely not like Jesus, but you will suffer. May some loss of your job or whatever. But if you say, Lord, I'm going to live a life of humility, the kingdom of God is going to be number one. I'm going to continually seek the kingdom of God. And then would Jesus say in Matthew 6:33, and then all of these things shall be added to you. You don't have to pray about them. They'll be added. Wow, I like that. Whoo. Wow. How wonderful. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not seek yourself to advance yourself. No, seek first the kingdom of God. And then here, this is in Luke 14:33. So likewise, this applies to every one of you. He who does not forsake all that belongs to him cannot be my disciple. Why? Because if you are a disciple and you're motivated by pride, God can't use you. When you're motivated by pride, you've eliminated yourself. It's not that God doesn't want you a disciple. Jesus wants you a disciple, but he wants you as a disciple that lives by humility, not pride. Because pride, as I said before, will lead to all kinds of sin, but not humility. Here's another verse of scripture. I could almost have a book on this. and whoever does not take up and bear his own cross and thus walk in my steps cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, you got to walk in my steps. What steps did you take? He says, I paid a tremendous price in order for the kingdom of God to be advanced. Now that's what you've got to do. If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to deny anything that's beneficial to you as the Spirit leads you in order to advance the kingdom. Oh, praise God. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Advance the kingdom of God. You know, my wife and I for 17 years went to the state prison in Bushnell. For 17 years. And during those 17 years, we had about 500 disciples. And out of those inmates, there's about three or four now who are ordained ministers. What am I trying to say? You give to build the kingdom of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But pride, my wife and I had been living by pride, we said, no, we're not going. I'm not going to be driving 50 miles every week. No, I'm staying home. I'm going to watch the football game. Huh? No. You do all whatever it costs to advance the kingdom, you pay it. That's humility. And you know what? God will exalt you. He will. Isn't that wonderful? But he'll do it in his timing. But it's your choice. I'm going to quit. I've got a lot more to say, but I can't say it all. Amen. But are you understanding? The thing, what is the thing tonight? Get away from pride. I beg you. I plead with you. Why? Why are you saying that, Joseph? Why? Because it will destroy you. And I love you enough. I don't want you destroyed. And two, embrace humility. Lord, whatever it takes to advance the kingdom of God, I will pay it. I will pay it, whatever it is. And I'll pay it without griping and complaining, but gladly. Amen? And you'll be following in the footsteps of Jesus. Again, remember, why did Jesus say, you cannot be my disciple? Because you disqualify yourself. But you've got to, by comparison, not that you hate your mother and father. No, by comparison, it looks like you hate them. But when you obey God, that happened to me. I was out in California, and God, the Spirit led me to go to Ohio, and I left my mother behind. My sister was upset about me. She said, fine Christian you are, you need to stay in California, get a job, and get a house, and take care of your mother. But I obeyed the Spirit and went to Ohio. In a matter of weeks, I was in the ministry, shepherding a flock of people. Are you? And what happened? You know what happens? God took wonderful care of my mother, much better than I could ever. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And I just hope and pray that this evening that you'll come to the altar or kneel at your seat and talk to the Lord about pride and humility. Talk to him. Just have a conversation with him. Will you do that? Amen. Let's do that now in Jesus' name. Just wherever it's comfortable. Praise God.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.